News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5-807 on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you all along. And we'll talk with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. And a familiar face seems to be on the front of their website anyway, in the news. We'll get to all that local news coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, and we are very close to kickoff here, too. And I know a lot of people have been calling in and texting in and asking about college pick'em. We are doing it again this year, and it'll be bigger. I don't know about better. It'll be, well, I know the prize will likely be better, but bigger and better than ever. And they won't let me start the new season until at least August 1st. So many of you asking, hey, I'm not able to log in, not able to start getting my entry ready for this year. We'll just wait about a week and a half. We'll make it so you can jump in if you want to play this year. And then coming soon, also we'll let you know about some of the great prizes that will be available to win this year. But we're now within a month of high school kickoff too, Dan. And I know Tommy Hicks with Lanyap, and we'll talk with Rob with here in just a little bit, but he put up all these week one matchups. I forgot how great some of these matchups really are.
I think we're going to be at the greatest of the great.
Oh.
UTV 44 with our Friday night rivals, the game that we're going to... We've never gone to a place like Jackson. We're usually in the two county...
Mobile and Baldwin,
the metro, yeah. Right here. But
headed up to my neck of the woods.
Yeah, headed up to Jackson because that's a very talented team. Mm-hmm. And Saraland, of course, Saraland. So we know how good they are. But they played Saraland pretty well last year in Saraland. They brought so many people down from Jackson. I think it was concerning.
A little too busy.
Crowd was too big almost. And so we'll see what happens. And I think with the television going to be there, the community should be all that more excited. But I've never – I think it's called Legion Field.
It is. Jackson, and right? When Thomasville plays Jackson or Jackson plays Thomasville or either of them play Clark County, especially when the teams are good, you have people parking like all the way down the road get in there. So it's going to be another one of those situations here. I'm surprised ESPN doesn't have this. I'm glad they didn't because we get our guys on the call, and Jim Cox. I hope that ends up working out great. I think it will. But Saraland at Jackson, obviously the premier one.
Some of the, well, I know UMS and St. Paul's, and that's the debut of the new coach at UMS, right?
Battle of Old Shell Road. That's one Tommy Hicks posts up here. You get the Battle of Pritchard as well. Week one, Viger and Blount.
Yeah.
MGM, they have a opener against Pace, Florida, which could be interesting. And, you know, MGM had a really fantastic season after some tough years.
They're becoming, they're getting to be a really solid program.
Theodore at Baker. You get Fairhope at Spanish Fort. Bayside Academy at St. Michael Catholic. And I'm telling you, we've had some really good quarterbacks come through. And in the past, in our area, Philip Rivers kid, I think he's going to be maybe when it's all said and done, one of the best high school quarterbacks in Alabama state history.
And that says a lot when you consider that Saraland's quarterback from last year is now at the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He was a really good player. And
Riley Leonard, of course.
Jamarcus Russell back in the day was a fabulous high school quarterback. Great at LSU, too.
Daphne at McGill, Baldwin County at Foley, Davidson at Murphy. So we are within a month of all of those matchups.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And it's going to be hot. So just be careful while you... And even with the bands, I talk about this. People think I'm kidding.
Those fuzzy hats.
So you got to be out there in the heat trying to... Make sure that they've got their numbers and marching down, and so just everybody trying to prepare for the season. Just be as safe as you can be.
Who decided that the band leaders had to wear fuzzy hats? Why is that a thing? You know what I'm talking about? The tall fuzzy hats.
Tall fuzzy hats.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not always fuzzy. I don't know.
You talking about what all the band? Or
I thought that every band had a guy with a fuzzy hat.
Fuzzy hat. Let me think about that.
Am I way off on that?
I don't know.
Dudes that like dance across the 50-yard line. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but
aren't
they wearing the same hat as the rest of the band? Aren't they all in some sort of like high hats or what are they? What does a band wear?
Yeah,
like a hat like this.
Oh yeah, you're drawing now. Yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it
like
just looks like a top hat. That's like a 1920s. Hey,
well, it's like a tall baseball cap. I don't know what it is. Yeah. What do bands wear?
Let us know.
Help me out.
A band guy or gal. Let us know. So a lot going on, obviously, competing headlines nationally. You'll get a Bondi Obama Russiagate drop, or a Tulsi Obama Russiagate drop. Then you'll get a few pictures of Trump with Epstein. And then you've got, you know, another drop from Tulsi. And then you got, oh, Trump was friends with Epstein. And it just goes back and forth and back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And this Epstein stuff, like I said, not going away anytime soon. South Park, which, you know, whether you like their comedy or not, and I still need to see the first. I didn't know last night was the first full episode of the new season. They just signed a 10 episode, or I forget how many years, but a $1.5 billion deal with Paramount, who just let Colbert go.
Paramount is buying CBS.
Well, Paramount owns CBS.
Oh, they own CBS now. And they so they were subject to a Trump lawsuit.
Yeah, so he
Trump
sued them
lawsuit.
For billions and billions of dollars. They settled for around $20
million. Yeah.
And then let Colbert go because the show was costly. It wasn't making him as much money as it cost to make, even though it was doing all right in the ratings. And, of course, he's been a big baby about it since. And you've got South Park, who received a big raise as Colbert was let go. And you think, I don't know if anyone thought that South Park would take it easy, but they come back last night and just absolutely go directly after Trump for the entire show.
You're claiming some of those scripts that were funny.
It's like, are you really going to, Paramount's probably got to be going, are you really going to have Trump sue us again? Like, but yeah, Trey and Matt, they are. They're going to make that happen. So pretty unbelievable stuff, but Trump's base still pretty upset about not really seeing what they want to see come out of all this. And it's well known, you know, and it's been known for a long time since the Black Book came out, right, that Trump was acquaintances, and some would say friends, some are saying friends, with Epstein during the 80s and 90s. They were both kind of New York playboys, right, mm-hmm. and both really into modeling agencies, and that's part of Trump's history that he wouldn't even dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And then down in Palm Beach, too, they hung around, you know. But they had a falling out, and I think that was like 03 or 04.
It was definitely before.
And it was a real estate deal that they fell out
about. Oh, that was it?
About. And I saw one person, so Michael Wolff, who wrote, has written several books about Trump, very critical author of Trump, and I think some of his stuff has been debunked, some of the stuff he's put out there about Trump. 4 best-selling books on Trump's presidency. Well, he has hundreds of hours of tape recording and talking with Jeffrey Epstein, and started having these conversations with Epstein, I think around 2014. And so then that encompassed basically the entire first campaign of Trump that followed, and his first presidency. And then, you know, it was during Trump's term that Epstein was put away and then mm-hmm. ended up dying. And I saw one, they were speculating that because of their fallout over this real estate deal, that back when Epstein was first arrested in maybe 07, is that when he was
06.
First arrested? 06. Some 06. People think that Trump maybe dobbed him in because they had been so at odds with each other over what had gone down.
I could see that happening.
And so Epstein obviously had an axe to grind, too, with Trump, but spoke with Wolf a lot. And I thought it was notable, this Wolf said, he continues kind of that same line that Bondi used yesterday. Not Bondi. Yeah. With some of these new releases about Epstein, that Trump was... okay, so that was a Wall Street Journal report that came out yesterday that said Bondi and the deputy AG Blanche told Trump in May, hey, we can release these files, but there are tons of high-profile names in these Epstein mm-hmm. files, including yours. And they stress, you know, that doesn't mean that you or anyone else mentioned here did anything illegal. Like you're saying, there's no smoking gun in these files we currently have. And Wolf was kind of saying the same thing. Someone who's incredibly critical of Trump was like, they both were in the same circles. They were coming up around the same time. And the modeling thing they had in common. But Wolf was like, that doesn't mean that Trump was, and he never knew him to be into young, you know, underage people. Well, but people can only speculate, unauthorized speculation.
Here we go again.
And that's the problem for Trump is his name. He's got these pictures. All anyone can do is speculate. And I don't know that the DOJ currently has any kind of smoking gun that could clear Trump
or implicate him.
Yeah. So it's really that's a rock and a hard place for the Trump administration.
Yeah, but so you're thinking what a lot of us are thinking. Why is he playing this so hard? Why is he saying, why is he dismissing it? Why is he saying that's yesterday's news? You know, he could be a little more soft pedal on this thing and say, well, but, and of course, what he tried to do with Bondi allowing some of the court proceedings to be released, that was shot down.
Stonewalled this week, yeah.
So the story from the Wall Street Journal, it was number one of our three big things, and it's just got to say that it was back in May that that Trump was told about the fact that he's in the report, but that many high profile people are as well, and that doesn't mean necessarily much. But it's curious the way he's playing it. It's also curious. Suddenly, I guess it was last Friday that Tulsi Gabbard began to do what she's doing with this drip, drip, drip on Obama, and the Obama, and of course. She's coming at it from a completely different angle that they were trying to take down Trump highly illegally. She had more of that to say yesterday as well. This is Tulsi Gabbard.
The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm that fact.
So I haven't seen it all, but she's not pussyfooting around. She's saying, like, Obama wasn't, like, in the neighborhood, in the area where some of these conversations happened.
He was overseeing it.
He directed them. So that's being pretty blunt.
And I think there was a Peter Strzok text, too, to Lisa Page that indicated just as much, that's kind of been glossed over since those texts were revealed long ago. But it was basically like the president wants us to keep him updated on this. And remember that text, too, like one of them said, is Trump really going to be president? And I think the other text was something like, well, not if we can help it. Like, we're going to try to keep that from happening. And so you have all these things that were reported on at one time, but that make more sense the further you get along in this investigation. To me, what they've released, what Tulsi has released, catching the former CIA director Brennan, I mean, more than a smoking gun, he lied to Congress. It's obvious. And while over the years, many people have never paid for lying to Congress, a couple of Trump's people have.
Yeah, they have.
Navarro and Bannon.
Jail time.
And Bannon, he goes back and forth between being a Trump guy or not being a Trump guy, depending on Trump's current policies. But Bannon, another one, he filmed with Epstein, like almost a documentary style thing on him. And that never saw the light of day. And I think he's acting like he's going to release it here soon. But who knows? It's a strange, strange time. And I think there's so many people that want to brush off these Obama accusations that's coming from Tulsi. But if you read the files and if you read smart people like Matt Taibbi, who has been reporting on this, he's been doing a really, really good job. I went back and was rewatching Plot Against the President, an Amanda Mealy's documentary that came out, I think, in 2020. And it asks a lot of questions, too, about how things went down during that term transition from Obama to Trump. I think because of the teams we all play, that everyone's kind of settling back into that. Like, if you hate Trump and you like Obama, you're like, oh, this whole Tulsi thing is bunk. There's nothing to it. I'm not going to read it, but I know for a fact that she's just making all this up. Well, she's using House intelligence reports and things in the past that haven't really been made public to show that, yeah, this is a real thing that really happened. And it really stonewalled 2+ years of the Trump first term and has led to a lot more since then, just because people have kept that line of thinking that Trump has been working hand in glove with Putin. And I know when we were talking with Quinn, he said, well, he wasn't impeached because of the Mueller. Alleged, but
Mueller
it was
report.
Well, you had the Zelensky call too.
Yeah.
And the perfect phone call. Remember where Trump was going to hold from Zelensky unless he got some information on what Hunter Biden was doing over there.
Right.
That probably wouldn't have happened if you didn't have half of America thinking that Trump was working on behalf of Russia. So it was all tied together.
Yeah, it was a successful campaign. Basically, it worked. But Trump won.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they weren't banking on that at all. They were so concerned that Trump, once they started to think, can he actually win?
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time they were thinking it's not going to happen. But this was. Again, if the report indicates that everything that Trump was not implicated in any real dealings with Russia until he won the election, that's when the narrative changed.
Yeah.
That's when the wheels got into and the wheels started grinding.
And Tulsi was kind of alleging that Russia felt the same way that Hillary was going to win.
Right.
Because yesterday she said Russia actually held back some really harmful information about Hillary Clinton because they thought she would win and thought that would work against them as they were negotiating with a president, Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And that video of her in 2016, remember when they were trying to load her into the van after a campaign event?
I do.
And it looked like she had didn't have legs. You
right.
know, they had to basically carry her into the van.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of popped up again yesterday after this report that Russia had a inside, I guess they had scooped it with their spies and hacking, that Hillary Clinton's physical and mental health were in a really bad place, ranging from heart disease and diabetes to psycho-emotional issues treated with sedatives. So Tulsi was basically saying, listen, if Russia was colluding with Trump as everyone was acting like in 2016 and they really wanted to help him, why wouldn't they have put this out too beforehand?
Yeah, and so
just adds another twist.
Well, it does add another twist when you look at those reports of her poor physical and mental health going into that election. Well, we know the Democrats and those in power do a pretty good job of hiding stuff like that. Look at Biden, right? But again, what was Russia's impression of all that?
And then on the Epstein front, an interview with Ghislaine Maxwell on the way in front of Blanche, the deputy AG, but also probably a House committee. And they're also talking about getting the Clintons in to talk about it. This thing is blowing up.
It is blowing up, and then you have the timing of it all. This all starts to happen when Trump is whisking away the Epstein stuff. Suddenly all this evidence on Obama, that makes everyone think, yeah, this is a little curious. Well, according to the text line, it's the easiest class of the day. We're all in band now. And thank you very much. Cindy says drum major is the lead strutter,
yeah,
I guess, of the band. Drum or drum majorette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, real good at getting low, right?
Yeah, well, they are. And so then...
the hat called a shako. Tall, cylindrical, military-style hat typically worn by drum majors. Usually features a peak and a plume.
Yeah,
serving so... Serving both ceremonial and functional purposes.
All right, that's right. I was thinking, where else do we see hats like this? And there is a military look to them a little bit,
mm-hmm.
maybe?
Well, yeah, bands and militaries have gotten along famously over the years.
You guys stay over there with your tuba, and we'll stay over here with our artillery.
We'll
settle the conflict, but thanks for coming, guys.
Maybe the most courageous people, you know, the flag bearers in those wars, and then the bands. Can you imagine marching to Gettysburg with just a couple drumsticks? That's, like, ridiculous.
No.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
They made him play?
Yeah. I don't know if they were at every battle, but yeah, for sure. And Jason says the left's sudden love of Epstein is all about the midterms, and it's beyond funny to hear Democrats attempt to give lessons in morality. That's kind of where I am in this. I think Trump has done a terrible job of this rollout, and they brought it upon themselves pre-election by saying we're going to get to the bottom of this. Bondi made it even worse by saying the files are on my desk right now.
Yeah.
But to see a lot of these never-Trumpers and the left who didn't care about this for 4 years and were acting like everyone were crazy conspiracy theorists. Now they're hopping.
Yeah.
You talk about bandwagon folks, like jumping on the back. What you're doing is pretty clear, but that doesn't mean that there aren't answers that need to be found.
8:30, Dan and Dalton. Dan and Dalton. Johnson, FM Talk 106.5, 8:30, just about 8:35 now. Over your mornings. Showers and thunderstorms could happen again today. They did happen during Dalton's outstanding golf outing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of delayed things.
I had just gone par, par, bogey, which is basically a par for me. And then the skies opened up and said, we can't have this. We can't let him play this well.
This is too weird. A thunderstorm in the afternoon in Mobile is not weird, so we can expect more of that activity today. Rob Holbert is with Lagniappe Mobile. Hey, Rob, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're good.
Doing good. I wanted to run something by real quick before we get into all the different news items that you've got Lagniappe. Your position right there on Government Street, and so I'm trying to get a handle. I'm not, you know, I'll see it from time to time. Those backups, Government leading into
the bankhead,
they used to be less frequent and around the weekend, you know, backed up all the way to Broad Street and all that. How often is that now happening? Because I go down there on a Friday and it's the side streets near the cathedral. They're all jammed up with people trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, it's almost every day.
Every day?
During the summer.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much. It's most days during the summer. Certainly Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on. By 2:33 o'clock, it starts to get really jammed up. And, you know, there's lots of times when I leave and if I head west on Government Street, you'll see the traffic jam go far past Broad Street.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and if you end up on one of those side roads and are trying to get onto Government to go into the Bankhead, good luck sometimes turning left.
Yeah, there's a lot of clever moves people try, but I don't know that any of them really work.
No, you're right. So it's now affecting me on a drive on Dolphin Street, just trying to get down by, you know, get some parking and go to the Nappies or whatever. And now you got people crossing over. Would that be, there's Conception Street, the street where the cathedral is. I don't know which street is that, but.
Conception's down there near the tunnel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so they're all trying to plot their way to Government and make that left turn. And they're messing my evening up.
And that's all that really matters, right?
That's all that matters to me.
As long as they're messing Dan up, that's really a problem.
I
tell you the other thing. If you're headed west, if you're coming out of the tunnel, headed west and trying to take a left into a building or something like that on the other side of the road, that's a rough one, too. You'll sit through three or four cycles of the light.
Wow.
So, it's a lot of traffic, man.
Okay. I've noticed it, but I'm just trying to get an idea of how many days a week you're dealing
and
with.
And that was real. I mean, we spent an hour yesterday, Rob, talking about traffic and parking in downtown Mobile, and I want to get to some of your lead stories and stuff here in a minute, but you know, a lot of people complaining, they're making some of these one-way streets two-way, and they're saying that's really making it more difficult to park. Mm-hmm. This hotel that's going up there potentially soon on St. Francis, this Home to Suites, which will take out that pretty big parking lot, I think 150 spaces or something like that, maybe more.
Yeah.
So the city's like, well, there are 7,000 parking spaces downtown, but you hear people that try to go
7,000?
That's what they said, yeah. You hear people that try to get down there and park, and they say, well, no, it's more difficult than ever. Have you noticed that?
I mean, I think it's hard to park on the street, I think street parking is more difficult than it has been, but you know, there are parking garages and things like that. I think, you know, it is, it's not easy. I mean, try to park around lunchtime is very, very difficult any day of the week. You know, there's just certain times of the day it's hard. But, you know, I think it also, it's just, at least it's a sign. Maybe there are people doing stuff downtown. I mean, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
You know, if you got plenty of parking down there and it's easy to park, it probably means that nobody's doing anything down there. And so, you know, you just have to kind of
plan accordingly,
as they say. Plan accordingly.
If you have all this parking, that'd be a problem indicating another bigger problem. So,
That's for sure. The big story, and it's been really kind of continuous from Lagniappe's reporting on Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan and that kind of entire saga down there as we head towards the elections now just over a month away. What's the latest here you have in Lagniappe?
Oh, nothing but innuendo and rumors, right? The latest is that, you know, we went back and looked at his 2019 fight at the Floribama, which, you know, and people say, oh, well, that's 6 years ago. Why are you looking at that? And the reason we looked at it is because there were documents that nobody's ever seen, and also that, you know, he came out and said that he told, you know, two TV stations a story about what occurred. And, you know, what he told them was he was standing outside. A guy comes up. He and his wife are standing there hand in hand, waiting for a taxi. And this guy comes up in a costume and starts talking to him and claiming that he had hit his wife or something like that. And they got into a pushing and shoving match, but he didn't punch him. But, you know, when we got the documents from the Escambia County Sheriff's Department, which also included police reports from Orange Beach Police that nobody has seen before, it's a totally different story. But the one thing that it did verify is that night at 2 in the morning, he called an on-duty police officer to come pick him up from the Floribama. And this is what one of the things that we've been asking about, because we've been told by multiple current and former police that he has used police officers as a taxi cab to go to bars all the time, which is, I mean, you're pulling people off the street. It's a misuse of your public office. You know, you're taking active duty cops and saying, you need to come get me and drive me to a bar. And he did that night. It's written in the police report from the officer who did it, who called him. He was called by, and then also the Escambia County Sheriff's Office viewed the body camera footage from the ride, because they were trying to investigate it. So they got the camera footage from Orange Beach, and they looked at it, and they determined that he was actually getting a ride home, but they didn't see anything, they didn't hear anything or see anything in the video that aided their investigation into this alleged assault. Mm-hmm. But it also points out very clearly that the incident occurred inside the building. There's interviews with the mayor and with his wife, in which they say they admit they were arguing, both of them admit they were in an argument. The guy that he got in a fight with claims that he punched the wall next to his wife's head. So, you know, of course, here we are now. He's back then, it was the same thing. You know, people are attacking my family. People are coming after me. This is all lies. And this is the same thing we're hearing with this situation on, you know, last Labor Day on top of the Coastal Resources building, when somebody called in and said, you know, called 911 and said a naked man was out there punching a woman in the face on the balcony. And the police went to Tony Kennan's office, and there was someone in that office that they made contact with. And they, you know, the people who've seen the video from it say that the guy said his name was Tony Kennan, and he didn't open the door. He said it was Tony Kennan. Police backed off. They didn't make contact with the woman in there. And they, 4 days later, went and interviewed his wife. That's in the police report. So, you know, I know that there's people who say that this is all politically motivated, or it's, you know, it's all just rumor and innuendo. But, I mean, this is, you know, this is a public official. He has a second office for whatever reason. He will not divulge why he has a second office. Makes no sense. And he's told another media outlet that the office is used by the city council and by the school system. We've interviewed all those people. The city council people, none of them say they've ever used it. The city council people mm-hmm. say they've been there maybe 4, 5, 6 times, and that was before they got their own building. None of them have keys to it. It's still just, you know, I'm just saying, yeah, if you look at this and you look at the story, we put the police reports out there. People can look at them. They can go look at what he told Channel 15, what he told ALA, and see if those things match up at all with the police report. They don't, but they can look at them.
And because, Rob, I think a reason that a lot of people, you know, say rumor and innuendo and, oh, it's coming right before the election, the stories, no matter how you cut it, they're juicy stories. I mean, sex sure. and violence sell in movies right. and everything. And that's, but when you get down to really kind of the beyond the character concerns, which if all this is if these eyewitnesses and everything are accurate, there are some character concerns. But both of those stories, you can kind of boil down to, even if you strip everything else away, With the Coastal Resources Building, it's like, okay, why is there this office that relatively few people know about or use over there so close to already where there is a mayoral office? And then with this reporting this week, I mean, remember when former Governor Bentley, the wallet and having Aaliyah
had a helicopter fly his wallet down.
Fly the helicopter down, and there were so many people saying, well, that's obviously a massive waste of public resources. Mm-hmm. And if you have an on-duty police officer, you know, drive. I mean, I guess it's better than driving drunk, but it's still, there's questions that are unanswered, I guess, about the use of public funds.
Look, I guess you can say it's better than driving drunk, but that applies to every citizen. So should everybody just call a cop and say, hey, I'm drunk, come drive me home from the bar? And again, you know, the allegations that I've heard from police officers, it's not that he just calls and says, drive me home. It's calls and says, drive me from this bar to another bar. It's, you know, it's not a matter of, I mean, you know, look, it is a misuse of the office. The average person can't do that. He can get an Uber just like everybody else. And, you know, I mean, if he's got somebody that's assigned to drive him, that's one thing. But to call an on-duty cop and say, it's 2 a.m, I need you to come pick me up at the Floribama, you know, people can make their decisions. I mean, to me, it seems like you're taking somebody out of the line of doing their job, which is to protect the public and drive a public official around.
And speaking of jobs.
And on top of that, on top of all that, he's declared all of this completely untrue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, we're going to say that these things are untrue. We're not going to answer any of the questions. But so, you know, it's our job. We have to say, okay, well, we got to figure out, is this a pattern of behavior? Is this, you know, is it a misuse of public office, public funds? I would say it is. I think it meets the definition of you know, misuse of the office to do that sort of thing. Certainly using an office, if you're using an office as a weekend getaway, that's a problem.
Yeah. Also, this is true that the top cop resigned maybe inside the last month. So would you factor in the timing of that as well? So you make of that what you want.
Also,
the other thing too to keep in mind is that, you know, this incident that occurred on the, you know, at the Coastal Resources Building, the way that it was reported, the police didn't do their job. They didn't interview the woman, the alleged victim. They didn't file a report properly. It had no narrative with it. The narrative was put into the system later, after people would have maybe seen it. It basically the way it was done was to kind of mitigate anybody seeing it, to try to minimize how many folks are going to see it. And these things didn't have names in it. They didn't have his name in it. They didn't have a lot of things until the end, when the last supplement had Miss Kennan in it. They finally had her name in it. But other than that, there were no names involved in it. And it was done in a very poor fashion. And you have to think, well, okay, is this normal behavior by the police department, or are they doing something different because it's the mayor?
Rob Holbert is with Lanyap Mobile.
And, you know, last week on the last episode of Tuesdays with Tony, I don't know, he might have had one this week. I didn't watch, but he
did
said
not. He had an unexpected conflict, whatever that means.
But he said he said he was going to leave this kind of behind. He's like, no more talking about this except for Lanyap. Yeah, so is anything coming
with that? Lanyap, yeah, he did not deal with us, no.
Okay.
He has not answered anything. If he wants to answer the questions, it's fine. They're still out there. The questions are there. I think he should answer them. I get that, you know, yes, there's an election coming up. And yeah, this happens a lot of times. People come up with things and say, hey, did you know about this person who's about to run for election? But I will promise this, all this stuff, the first inkling of all this came months ago, and there was nobody even running against him when I first started looking into this. So, you know, that it doesn't really matter that much. The information is correct and it's true. And, you know, so, you know, the question people was, do you want to just sit on it? Should we sit on a story and wait till after the election so people don't know about this stuff? I think there are a lot of folks that down there that want to know about it. There are certainly a vocal group of people who don't care. They don't care if somebody got punched in the face. They don't care if a woman was beat up on city property. They don't care if somebody was If they don't believe it's Tony Kennon, they don't care that somebody was impersonating Tony Kennon in a city building and that nobody did an investigation into it. They don't care about those things. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. That's a prerogative. But, you know, that's not really my job.
Also, Rob, the second immigration raid of a school construction site in Baldwin County yesterday. It's one thing when you see, you know, contractors, private contractors, and illegal aliens being kind of hauled off site, but we're talking about city property here in both of these cases, Loxley and down at the beach.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, people, you know, there's a part of our economy that is, that involves people who are coming from other countries and working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if we want to be absolutist and say, you know, that shouldn't happen at all, then that's fine, but got to figure out a way to handle it, you know. And if it's not, if things aren't going to get built because of that, we're going to have to figure out ways to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I personally think we should, I think Congress should come up with a way to handle these things. That's my opinion. I mean, I think it's been kind of abdicating its duties to fix this issue and come up with some sort of guest worker program that people can, you know, we can have both things. I totally agree that this border should be shut down and we shouldn't allow just illegal people coming across the border. But this is a real part of the economy. I mean, it's pretty hard to get your roof redone or get a lot of things done around here without folks who are from somewhere else doing it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trump is kind of picking and choosing which part of his promises pre-election that he's holding true to.
Yep.
To this point, it seems to be one of them.
He's following through on a lot of them, though. I'll say that.
Yeah, he has. But this one, as Rob points out, a little more complicated than the emotion of the moment. Like, they came in, now they all got to go. Right? Mm-hmm. That seemed pretty simple at the time. Rob, we got to go now. And thanks all for your time again this morning. And the people can sign up for Lanyup, get it every day, right?
Yeah, go to lanyupmobile.com and check us out. There's daily news there. So check out Lanyup Daily. $1 for the first month.
Thanks, Rob.
Rob Olbert, Lanyup. More Mobile Mornings on the way.
Joy Behar went off about Trump the other day, and now you got a White House spokesperson warning The View and Joy Behar, watch your step. And is Trump just... Yeah. You know, unilaterally just going to cancel all the shows he doesn't like?
He's not canceling them. He's just suing the companies that pay their salaries. And the lawsuit works.
It's funny, though. It's like, I could see it happening. Well, Colbert, but they were losing $40 million a year.
Yeah, his response since then has been embarrassing, honestly.
But now, the fact that the White House is coming out, a spokesperson, and warn, you know, in advance, like, hey, watch it.
Yeah.
We're watching you, Joy Behar.
I don't think ending The View is necessarily good for the Trump administration. I think they make themselves look like idiots all the time, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
If you're, come on.
It's annoying as hell.
Well, you don't have
like
to watch
it. Yeah, no. If you're like a doctor's waiting office or something like that, and they just have the wrong channel on, and you're sitting there going, I don't know.
Don't you take your phone in, though, to the doctor's office? Then you can just do whatever you want. That's
no,
what I do.
Well, you do, and you can.
And I watch The View on my phone.
That's the other thing. Because you're in the doctor's office, and a lot of people there that are later in life, they got it all cranked up because people can't hear. So it's like, not only is The View on here as I'm trying to take care of this medical issue.
Yeah.
A, The View's on. B, it's on level 11 as far as volume.
We might not be going to the same doctor's offices.
No, I go to different ones than you now.
Jeff Porshow on the way, and he has Danielle Duggar in hour one, a candidate for House District 96.
That's over there in Baldwin County.
April Marie Fogle joins in hour number two, and former U.S. Representative Parker Griffith with Jeff Poor in hour three. Let's run through the texts. Tina from Orange Beach says, why does the Orange Beach City Council allow the mayor to have a separate office? Why are these things approved? He can't do these things in a vacuum. Why are we not questioning the entire council that has been serving for many years, each of them some over 30 years? Now, Lanyap did ask those council members if they knew about the office. They asked them, you know, what do you know about the office? And if I remember correctly, a majority either said no comment or they didn't know that that second office was a thing. Now, you did have some people in the administration and maybe in the halls of city government that said, yes, that office has been used a few times for interviews. I think they were maybe school-related, school board-related or something like that. I'll have to pull back all these different Lanyap columns, but they did ask. And Tina says, funny, Dan is showing his liberal tendencies, The View. No, I think Dan was just making fun of The View along with me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And a lot of shows, too, now a lot of them on the podcast shows, they will use clips from The View to make their point. You know,
yeah, like that's the only way I see it at all is if they're saying something stupid.
Right.
Let's see, Michael.
I'm trapped in a doctor's office.
Michael says, kind of ironic that Lanyap is complaining about public resources being used to transport you when you're drinking, while also advocating for public resources to pay for your booze train to NOLA. Not sure that's an apples-to-apples comparison there. Michael, let's see. Driving Tony from the sewing club to the knitting club would also be a misuse of city resources. Jason says, Mayor Sam Jones had a city-paid driver for many years, too. And
well, that's
what was that?
That's a position.
Yeah. Was that funded with that intent, like to have a driver driving you around? I don't know.
This is not a position. This is just, hey, I need a lift.
And several people agreeing with Rob about this Kenan situation. And many of you, just like always, saying this is all cooked up. They're cooking it before the election. And I think right Rob here addressed that pretty well this week, just as he has many other weeks.
Right here. It's all broken right when the new candidate, announced that he was in, right after the police commissioner resigned. I mean, a lot of these dots may indeed be connected.
Maybe.
Or I'm dumb. It's a freaking rock. 8:59, Jeff Porch Show is on the way next. Dan and Dalton, see you in the morning.